Welcome to Financial Freedom God's Way. This is where you are continuing to learn, apply, and to pass on Bible-based financial principles and applications so that you and your family will not only just survive, but will thrive even during these very, very uncertain times. Hi, and welcome again, everyone. This is Bob Lauder from Christian Financial Ministries. And as always, it's an absolute honor and a privilege to have you with us again today. It really is. Now, where are we going to be headed during our 30-minute time together today? Well, first of all, during the Your Finances in Perilous Times radio seminar, you are going to discover some really great reasons to keep coming and showing up here every week. You see, the Bible has some great reasons for you to learn, apply, and to pass on what the Bible has to say about money. It's going to be great. It's going to be a little unusual. And then, secondly, we're going to get back to some of your questions. Now, the first one, we've got a couple of good ones for you. The first one has to do with the tithe, where you're looking around for a church. And the second has to do with family finances when two folks remarry. Trust me, you're not going to want to miss these Q&As. And then finally, we're going to hear yet another Minute with Maxwell as Christian author, speaker, teacher, trainer, mentor, and coach John Maxwell shares with us his thoughts on the words do-over. So stay tuned, won't you? It's going to be another great time together. You're not going to want to miss a minute of today's program. Now, as we start, as we always start, please open with me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for meeting with us again today. We really do. Will you please give us ears to hear all that it is that you have planned for us to hear to your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now, listen, as you already know, during our radio seminar times together, you are learning what God has to say about how you are to take care of, how you are to best manage all of the material areas of your life and do it in ways that are going to be pleasing to Him. And right now, for the last week or so, we've been working on some foundation stones that are going to help guide you down your personal road to financial freedom God's way. For example, last week you discovered some interesting statistics that show you that even though you are one of only 10% within the body of Christ who is ever going to prayerfully step out and work to discover and apply what the Lord has to say about managing your material resources, even so, you still have some rather uncomfortable financial habits in common with a whole lot of other folks within the body of Christ and everybody else as well. True, you are unique. That is true. But there are some other great reasons for you to be here. All right? More good reasons. That's this week. Listen, God gives you some great reasons to take the time to make the choice to bounce back and forth between listening to this program on the weekend and then re-listening to it or reading and studying the transcript at our website at christianfinancialministries.org. Now, let's start. More reasons. And as we start, I want to first remind you of something that I am sure you already know. Now, what would that be? Well, according to the Bible, God has a plan for you. You know this. He has a reason for you to be here and to be taking active part in this radio seminar. Now, why would that be? What is His plan? Well, you see, and listen carefully here. According to the Bible, now listen carefully. This just might surprise you. According to the Bible, money is important to God. Whoop, wait a minute. Hey, Marge, what did he say? Money's important to God? No, that ain't right. Hey, listen, did I say it right? Yes, I did. Money is important to God. Now, you may think, and you have maybe even been taught, that money is not important to God. But according to the Bible, money is actually very important to God. How do you know this? How can you know this? Well, let me ask you a question. And I want you to think about this for just a second, okay? I'm going to ask a question. You're going to think about it. Here's the question. How do you know? How can you tell for sure that something, that anything, is important to God? Well, what would be a clue for you? Any ideas? Think about that for just a second or two, okay? What is just one way that you can know for sure that something, that anything, well, it's important to God? Do you have a thought or two? Well, I submit to you that if you know that, you can know that something is important to God. Yes, you can. And one way to see is that if God talks about it in His Word, right? I mean, if it is in the Bible, if it is in His Word, if it is there, it is important. Would you agree? Okay. But then, and here we go, secondly, how can you tell that something in God's Word is extraordinarily important to God? And again, think about this for just a second. How can you tell that something in the Bible is extraordinarily important to God? What do you think? Sure. If He covers it more than once or in different ways, then it's actually extraordinarily important to Him. So this being the case, my friend, listen, then how you manage your material life is extraordinarily important to God, because God spends a whole lot of time talking about it in His Word. For example, do you realize that in the Bible you're going to find about 700 or so verses on prayer, almost 500 on faith, yet well over 700 verses that deal directly with money, and then another couple of 2,000 or 3,000 verses that talk about the impact that money has on all of the material areas of your life. Listen, 2/3, you look them up, you check it out, 2/3 of the parables deal with money. As a matter of fact, do you know that the Bible has more to say about money than heaven and hell combined? Even more to say about money than salvation. And as a matter of fact, listen, if you were to take all of God's Word, every bit of God's Word, you know, you were to categorize every verse in the Bible, if you start from in the beginning and you work your way all back to come Lord Jesus, you write every verse down, you put every one of them in a category, what you're going to find is that the Bible has more to say about money than any other single subject except one. More to say about money than anything else except one. You know what that one happens to be? Can you guess what it might be? What might be the only subject God talks about more than money? Love. Love. God spends more time in the Bible talking about money than any other single subject except the subject of love. So, you can see, can't you, that God does have quite a lot to say about money. He really does. About all aspects of money, all of them to include how you earn it and spend it and give it away and save it and invest it and all of the rest. Money is important to God, and therefore it ought to be important to you. And if it's important to you, then you need to act on it, which really isn't going to be a big issue for you, right? Because it's easy for you to act on whatever you believe is important. So you see, my friend, you do tend to respond and to act on what you believe is important. Good thought. So when God places this kind of emphasis on anything, I submit to you that you ought to sit up and pay attention, right? It ought to become important to you as well, correct? Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 tells you, all Scripture, you know this verse, all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. That's a memory verse, okay? You recognize the teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness part of the verse, right? Hey, but you might miss a couple of things. For example, the first part of the verse says, all Scripture is God-breathed. It comes from God, and what? It is useful. The Bible tells us that the Bible is useful. It has a purpose. And you see, we memorize verse 16, but not verse 17. And I think that's unfortunate because it is in verse 17 that God gives us the reason for verse 16. It's verse 17 where you discover how the Bible is useful. What does it say? Well, let me read both verses together for you. All Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, to prepare the man of God for every good work. So how are we to prepare to do God's work? By allowing His words to teach and rebuke and correct and to train us. You see, Scripture, the Bible, is God-breathed. It is the very Word of God, and His Word is useful. It has a purpose. He gives us His Word for a reason, and the reason is to prepare you for the good works He has planned for you. Listen, according to the Bible, if you're bogged down in your finances, one big reason has got to be because you've not invested the time or the energy to discover what God has to say about money and what to do about it. And remember, there are well over 3,000 verses in the Bible dealing with money. How many of those 3,000 plus verses do you know and live out on a regular basis? So why are you here? Because the subject of material management is important to God. It ought to be important to you. And therefore, you need to begin to look for and to begin to act on some personal applications. All right? Okay, now listen. We have time for this. I want to give you one other thing. It's a surprising thing that, you're going to discover as we spend time together, and that's this. How you use or how you misuse money and the material areas of your life, well, it's a very clear indicator to you in at least two different areas, okay? You see, according to the Bible, your faith is a very personal thing, but it is not so private, okay? There are some outward evidences of the inward quality of your relationship with God. Did you know that? For example, according to the Bible, how you handle money, how you handle the material areas of your life is a clear, visible, outside indicator to you as to where you are inside spiritually with God. Luke 16:10-14 says this, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much, and whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? Now, I have to believe that honestly, one of the very best ways for you to check your spiritual temperature is to take a look at your personal checkbook. And why do I say that? Well, because I know from counseling and coaching and teaching inside and outside this country for well over 30 years and looking at my own family, what I find is that Christians are great at faking what is really going on in their lives. All of us in the body of Christ are well equipped to, we're equipped to say what we believe others want to hear, right? Am I not right? Many of us, I bet even you, at least some of the time, I bet you're a great talker. Right? You quite likely, probably, tend to do a great, great job at faking your true attitudes, at least some of the time. Let me give you an example as to why I know this is right, okay? You see, you've already seen that all of us in the body of Christ have a lot in common, right? Okay? But I got to believe there are other ways that our families, your family and my family, are much more alike than you might imagine, okay? For instance, think about this. How do you walk into church every Sunday? Do you walk in with a big frown on your face? Or do you walk in with a big smile? You know, somebody's going to ask you, "Hey, how you doing?" And you say something like, "Man, I am doing just fine. I can't believe it's so good." And you know that's a lie. Because I can remember back in the day that there were many times my family and I had a rough start to Sunday morning. Okay, my daughter was running late because she had to change clothes 13 or 14 or more times. You know what I'm saying? My son was running late because he was out in the yard playing with the dog. Debbie, my wife, was running late. Well, my wife just was running late. Now you need to understand that having been in the military, I like to be on time. I like to be early. If I'm 5 minutes early, I'm late. So sometimes this can be a hard thing for our family. So it's quite likely, it is quite possible, okay, after all the delays heading out for church, I was tense, the kids were tense, Debbie was tense, and so what happened? Well, Debbie and I got into an argument, right? No. I know, not an argument, because good Christian families aren't supposed to have arguments, right? No, we didn't have an argument. We had, let's just say that we had a time of intensive fellowship. Okay? Intensive fellowship. Does that sound familiar? I mean, has that ever happened to you? So what could happen? Well, we have our times of intensive fellowship right in the car. Everyone's down and out in the car. But listen, as soon as we hit the parking lot and walk into the church, everyone is all smiles. Hey, how are the ladders doing this morning? Fantastic, man. Got any better? I just couldn't stand it. I remember once someone once suggested that Debbie and I might solve this problem that we had by changing roles on Sunday morning. You see, the suggestion was that I was to be the one to get the kids ready, and Debbie was to be the one to go out and sit in the car and honk the horn. Oh, my goodness, we never tried it. Maybe we should have, but we didn't. You see, the point here is that all of us are quite, well, we're quite likely great at faking what is going on in our life, both spiritually and financially. On the outside, my friend, you can present a face that all is well, but on the inside, well, you might have to admit that, oh my, you're struggling. Maybe you're even drowning. You see, you can fool others and yourself so easily by learning to quote a few Bible verses and some evangelical cliches, right? You know what I'm saying? And you can even learn to give a proper Christian testimony and deliver it with pizzazz, great deal of conviction and force. But I got to tell you, according to the Bible, that none of that means that your faith is real. There are indicators in your life that can help you see what's really going on in your life and in your heart. For example, according to the Bible, the way that you handle your finances is usually a dead giveaway as to what's really going on inside you spiritually. It is a strong clue as to who is or who is not in control of your life. God says that money, He says that money and how you handle it is a testing ground. According to the Bible, money is a testing ground to indicate to you where you stand with Him. You see, He already knows. Now, don't be mistaken here. He already knows. The Holy Spirit keeps Him up to speed second by second. This is not an indicator for Him. He already knows. This is an indicator to you so that you can know. According to God's Word, how you handle the material areas of your life, well, it's a clean, visible, outside indicator as to where you are inside spiritually with God. Listen, putting it another way, listen to this. Putting it another way, your spiritual growth is tied directly to the way you handle your money. Oh, wow. Let me say that again. According to the Bible, your spiritual growth, my friend, your spiritual growth is tied directly to the way that you handle your money. Now, I know that this is a super strong statement. I know that. But I know that it is. But I also have to believe that you're going to begin to call it truth as you work your way through this radio seminar. All right? Okay, all right. Now, that's the first indicator, okay? Good money, good indicator to use what's going on inside spiritually with you. But do you know what? There's another one. There's even another one. There's another benefit that you may have never seen. Listen, how well you handle your finances, how well you handle the material areas of your life, well, it has a lot to do with how well and how effectively you deal and relate to other people as well. And I have to tell you, from experience, this is a particularly good indicator for husbands and wives. But it also applies to singles. It applies to singles as well. How so? Well, because if you stop to think about it, you are going to probably agree that money, well, it's either got to be, generally speaking, it's either got to be the best area of communications between you and those closest to you, or it is the worst. And we've already seen that it is the worst a great deal of the time. Remember the data? Remember the statistics? Better than half of all marriages go down in flames, and finances the main symptom 80 to 90 or even more percent of the time. And as a matter of fact, we've seen that, you know, you do some reading, you do some studying, you're going to find out that many Christian counselors say that money is the number one cause of stress and failure in all of marriages, in all of marriages. And remember, my friend, do Christians have these problems? You better believe we do. Do you believe that there are Christians out there right now filing for divorce and bankruptcy? Absolutely. You see, we suffer right along with everybody else. Why is that? Why do we suffer? Well, because for the most part, we do not know, or we do not know how to apply what God's Word has to say when it comes to managing the material areas of our lives. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that His people perish for what? I know you know this. The Bible says that God's people perish for lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge. And by the way, do you realize that your lack of personal knowledge has a direct impact on your church, on all of our churches as well? You see, do you believe there are churches out there, churches all across the country that have the same rate of delinquent payments and bankruptcies as the average American business? It's true. I'm telling you, there are a lot of churches out there who are losing their buildings. So, all of this just goes to show you that truly, truly, how you choose to handle your money, how you choose to handle the material areas of your life is a good, visible, outside indicator to you as to the quality of your personal relationship with God and with others as well. And by the way, I want to remind you one more time, okay? God already knows what's going on. The Holy Spirit keeps Him up to speed. Yes, He does. These indicators are for you so that you can really see what's happening inside you. My friend, this is a great place for us to stop today. It really is. Now remember, won't you, that there are lots of reasons for you to look into God's Word on the subject of money. First of all, it's important to Him. It ought to be important enough for you to learn what He says and begin to apply it in your life. Plus, you need to recognize that how you handle your material life, how you handle the material areas of your life is a good visible outside indicator to you as to the quality of your relationship with God and with other people as well. Now, next week, hey, listen, do you realize that it's just about time to dig into the first of the two most important verses in all of God's Word about money? There are two of the most important ones. We're going to hit the first one coming up. But before we do, what we need to do next week is talk just a little bit about the specific responsibilities that you have, that I have, and most importantly, that the Holy Spirit has as the three of us travel down your personal road to financial freedom God's way. It's going to be great, so don't miss it. All right, it's been a little while since we've done any questions and answers on air, so I thought that's where we would head for just a little bit today. And this is a good one. This is one that we commonly get having to do with tithing, okay? Here's the question. Bob, since we are currently between churches and looking for the one that God would have us to join, should we give our tithe to the churches we visit? Well, Shelley, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 9:14 that we are to support those who teach us, okay? If you've been attending a new church for a short while, you might want to prayerfully tithe to that church, even though you're not a member. However, you need to make sure that the church uses your tithes wisely. And that's something you cannot easily discern over a very short period of time. So one alternative I've seen folks use is, it is to make the deposit of your tithe and hold the tithes in a separate savings account until you are more settled in a church home. But I got to give you a big caution there. You got to be careful because you just may be tempted to dip into those funds for other things. Good question. Here is another. Reverend Louder, I'm a widow who recently remarried. My husband and I are both in our late 60s. We have been wondering if we should keep our assets separated. He would keep his assets for his children, and I would keep my assets separated for my children. What do you suggest? Well, guys, listen, I got to tell you, one of the great things about the Bible is that it is so clear and concise, and it doesn't make a bit of beans worth of difference, your age or your assets or your opinions, okay? According to the Bible, once you're married, you're married. You and your new husband are one, period. If you both willingly agree to keep your assets in trust for your children, that's got to be fine. However, you need to make real sure that neither of you is doing so because you're intimidated, either by each other or from other members of your family, okay? You should know that the data shows, and this is a hard word to say, but I'm going to share it with you. The data shows that if you keep your assets separate, to include things like separate checking accounts and savings accounts and credit cards, your marriage is going to suffer. Spend some time praying about this, won't you? Seeking God's plan for your life and seeking some spiritual counselor from your pastor and even some good Bible-based financial counsel from crown.org or daveramsey.com. Important thing for you and your husband to come to grips with. Now let's start to wrap up our time together for today. I got to believe with one of the highlights of all of our times together, let's spend another minute with Maxwell as John Maxwell gives us his thoughts on the words do-over. Do-over. Man, this ought to be interesting. Let's take a listen.
Hi, John Maxwell here. I think this word will encourage you today on Minute with Maxwell. And it is, I guess it's more than one word. It's two words. Start over. I was on a phone call with an executive circle, and I was talking to a CEO of a very successful company, and I asked him about do-overs. Do-overs are things that where we've made a mistake, and if we would we like to go back and do them over? We call those do-overs. And so I asked him, I said, in your leadership decisions, do you have some things in your life that you would, quote, like to do over? And I'll never forget his response. He said, no, John. He said, I made wrong decisions. But he said, I don't want to do any of them over. And I said, I kind of pushed him a little bit. I said, well, why is that? He said, well, okay. He said, here's what I know. The decisions that I made that weren't good decisions, they brought adversity and failure. And he said, I learned so much from them. And I established my character in them. That if I went back and I had all the do-overs and I did it all right, he said, I think I would lack wisdom and I think I would lack character. And I just kind of want the wisdom and the character that the problems and the failures have brought out of my life. I thought, how incredible, how beautiful that is. So the phrase start over, well, you can go start over and do a do-over. Or you can start right now of looking at the lessons you've learned and not count your losses, just count your lessons. And it'll take you a lot further than you could ever have imagined.
Wow. Count our lessons, not our losses. Great word. Thanks, John. And that wraps up our time together today. So let me close us with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for bringing us together and teaching us and encouraging us again today and for each of the days yet to come to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great rest of your day, and we'll see you next time for Financial Freedom God's Way Radio.